heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As we continue with this, fifth part of the prayer tract, lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil. And we've taken the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. It starts, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth."
Yeah.
Which earth? Us, that's right. Adam was made of the dust of the earth, and let the kingdom of God come in this earth, in us. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And we're still finishing off in forgive us our trans, lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil. So we may just do one or two little refreshers. It's been a couple of weeks or so since we've been back doing this. And we talked about enduring the tests, didn't we? And enduring means to be continuing, believing and acting upon God's word in the midst of conflict, in trials, tribulations, and yet standing on the promises of the word of God, declaring the word of God over your situation. And that's what we have to do. It's a little bit like sowing seeds. A farmer sows seeds. Some seeds come up rather quickly. Others take some time. And in our lives, in a normal growing season, there is seeds that come up quickly, and then there's seeds that take longer, and there's a purpose for that, so that the harvest and the different types of fruit come and grow at different times, so that we don't get it all at once. And in one sense, our lives are like that. We planted seeds. We've believed God on the promises He's given to us, and the promises haven't failed.
Amen.
God is not bringing crop failures.
No.
To your life. Okay, just get that into your heart, into your mind. God is not a God of crop failures. And so the promises that God has given to you are your responsibility, my responsibility, is to hold fast to those promises. It's just a thought, this, that sometimes we can be led into temptation in doubting the promises of God. That's a temptation. If we doubt the promises of God, we give strength to the enemy. So often when we think about temptation, we think about the wicked things of the world, wouldn't we? When it's, "Oh, lead us not into temptation." Well, what sort of temptations are you talking about? Oh, well, you know, women, drink, gambling, drugs. And those are the sort of things that people will bring up. Those are the first things. You know, the seven deadly sins. Well, there are more than seven. And every sin's deadly, believe it or not. So there's not just seven. But a temptation for us as believers is if we doubt God, if we're being tempted to doubt God, tempted not to trust God, tempted to disbelieve His word. Many temptations for a Christian. Probably more than being living in the world now. Greater is the trial, greater is the test to you and I. And but the Lord will give us victory in all of these situations and all of these circumstances. That's not to say, though, that there always will be a trial, a testing of your faith. That's a certainty. And so as we realise that there is this testing of our faith going on, then it's God who's testing us. It's not the devil. The devil has no hold of us. He has no right over us. It's the fact that we give the devil access into our lives. And often that can happen by the fact that we just drop our guard a little bit. And we drop off the word of God. We drop off mixing. We stop praying a little bit. There are just little things that we begin to do. And the enemy sees it. And he's straight in. The little foxes is the word used. The little foxes. And the enemy comes in and begins to seek to destroy. And you might think, wow, how does he do it? And you know, I said to you a few weeks ago, we planted some cauliflower seeds. And there's only three of them that came up. We planted them in this plant pot, you see. And most of you have seen the size of my garden. And what I want to know is why every butterfly knows that I've got three cauliflower plants in my garden. Because by the time they had finished, and I was lifting caterpillars off my leaves every day, and by the time they'd finished, they'd eaten every leaf and stripped them down to bare stalks. Now I want to know how those butterflies know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've hardly seen a butterfly around this year. Very few. And yet there's this homing device, or there's this such a keen sense of smell and odour that they must give off, that it attracts butterflies from miles around. And they're only a tiny little thing. And they cause these caterpillars to grow, lay their eggs, and then suddenly there's caterpillars all over, and gone are the leaves. And the devil's a little bit like that. You know, just that, just a little bit of a scent of weakness in us, and he will seek to attack. Plant the seeds of doubt, plant the seed of fear into our lives. Unbelief. And then if we're not careful, then it leads us into the temptation of doubting God, not trusting God, not believing God, being afraid of God in the wrong way. Those are temptations to the believer. Can you think of any others? I'm just taking a different track tonight. Or have I named them all? I don't think I've named them all. Counted them. No? Nobody got any more? Well, keep thinking. Fear? Yeah? Insecurities? Yeah? Reasoning? Yeah? Start reasoning things out. You know, oh, is this right? Is this wrong? Start to balance things. Dragging the past, yeah, dragging the past back up. Yeah, that's always a good one, isn't it? Can bring all sorts of things when you drag the past up, dig the skeletons out and try and put some flesh on them. And yeah, God's dealt with it, forgiven it and forgotten it, that's right. But it can be a snare, can't it? The past can be a snare to us. Even the past, if you want, that's not exactly ours. You know, family past. Oh, well, you know what happened to your uncle so-and-so. Yeah, well, I'm not my uncle so-and-so. They do, don't they? I remember when your auntie, you know, oh, if you've got what she's got, well, and they go on. We're of a different line. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And we're redeemed from the curse. And so don't be led into temptations. And remember, temptations just aren't the seven deadly sins that can often be talked about, but there are many temptations that would seek to draw us away. Yeah, you can look at, sort of use temptation as the word that we're, when you look into the natural and not to the spiritual. Now it's believing that word that you speak over somebody, the word of God goes out, and in healing you just believe it. And there were not always instant healings when Jesus prayed for people, so remember that. Don't be discouraged. The temptation then is not to pray again. It didn't work last time, so you think, so don't do it next time. And that's a temptation. The devil would want you not to do it next time. Oh yeah, they've got worse. Well, but you see, that may not be your fault that they got worse. You just know, you've just got to keep on keeping on. And remember the disciples when they prayed for the boy that was always throwing himself into the fire with the epileptic fits, and it didn't seem to get any better. And Jesus came down and dealt with the matter. And we know part of the reason for that. But just remember that. Just because it's not happening straight away, that does not mean that God is not on the throne. That does not mean that you're making mistakes. It's pressing through. You have to believe the word of God. You have to trust the word of God. That it is, all things are possible with God. But the temptation that the devil would put before you, see, it's not working. Don't make yourself look a fool. What will people say about you? That's pride. And you just think, well, I do what I have to do, and I do it as long as you're seeking to honour God and you're being faithful in what you're doing, and then trust the word of God to work and let it move in your life. So those are different areas of temptation that that can be in our lives that we have to counterattack, because it is, we have to counterattack the temptations that come against us. You might come on a Sunday and you're due to preach, and you think, oh, well, I don't know what I'm going to preach. I've spent all week and I still haven't got anything. And you're not sure what you're going to preach. Or you get here and God says to you, well, we're changing it today. And suddenly you throw a panic. It's all right. If God says we're changing it today, then He has the words of life. And you just go with the flow. And it's learning to tune into God. The temptation is to panic. Temptation is to go up to somebody else and say, oh, you say, you know, like I said to Philip, you're down for preaching next week. Have you got yours ready yet, Philip? Oh, good. You can do yours this week then, you know. It has been known. And but we're to stand our ground and believe that God is going to bring us to a greater challenge and lift us to a higher level. And so that's important that we realise that. So in Psalm 105 it says, it talks about some trials purify us and perfect our faith. Psalm 105. And verse 16 through to verse 24. And he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. You and I probably would have said, if we were in the situation that Joseph was in at that time, when his brothers had sold him on, threatened to kill him, and finally sold him on, And then he ended up in prison for a number of years. You and I would have said, well, I didn't hear God, obviously. I were wrong. And I'm being punished. Wouldn't we? We'd have gone probably down then, you know, that's it. I've really missed God. You know, really missed God. As a teenager, I really missed him. Even though I had a coat of many colours and my dad thought a lot of me, I've obviously really missed God. I've done something seriously wrong. But we know the end of the story, don't we? But you see, you don't know the end of the story of what you're going through. Well, you do. If you read the end of the book, we win. But we don't know how long it's going to take to go through a situation, through that trial. And the temptation is maybe to quit, to change direction. But then it goes on. The king, in verse 20, the king sent and released him, the ruler of the peoples, and set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler over all his possessions, to imprison his princes at will. Wow, that's a turnaround, isn't it? Now he can imprison the princes of Egypt if he wants, that he might teach his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt. Thus Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham and caused his people to be very fruitful and made them stronger than their adversaries. Joseph would not have expected that. Joseph had prophesied it, those things that were going to happen. But the way it happened is not the way you and I would have planned it or thought it out, is it? And for you and me, the temptation would have been in prison. Well, oh, I might as well give up. This is a waste of time. But he stuck in there and he carried on. Because it was a case of the word of God was working in him, and it was making him faithful to the promises of God and causing him to rely more and more on God himself and not rely on other people. Because you can imagine when he was in Potiphar's house, he thought, I've arrived. I'm head of the house now. He's made me the head servant of the house. I'm looking after everything. I'm running everything. I've arrived. I'm finally out of it. Maybe one day I'll be able to get back to my father. The next thing, prison. Worse than before. Locked up in prison. But he carried on. And he became a servant again. And he served the people in prison. And there's a principle, learning to serve. As you serve, you will see the promises. You will see the blessings of God coming to pass in your life, in my life, as we learn to serve. And we, as long as we're serving God and not serving the temptation would be to quit. And you would serve the temptation for the rest of your life. So that it's, the temptation has to be dealt with and pushed away. Let's look at the children of Israel in the wilderness. There's a situation where Moses has gone up the mountain. And he's been gone a while. And it gets to the point where the people say, well, what did he go up with? He only went up with his staff, and he didn't take any water. He didn't take any food. And he's been gone nearly 40 days. He's got to be dead. The assumption is, he's got to be dead. He can't last all that long up there. He's got to be dead. So, tell you what we'll do. We'll build a golden calf. And we'll worship this golden calf. Exodus 32. You see, this is the temptation to the people. The people couldn't wait. I mean, not only had they lost Moses at that point in time, but also lost Joshua. Because Joshua had gone partway up the mountain with Moses. And Joshua's waiting for Moses. He's up there for all that time, waiting for Moses to come back to the point where he'd left him. Now when in verse 1 of chapter 32, now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled around Aaron and said, come, let us make a god who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. In other words, he's got to be dead. Didn't actually say it, but they meant it, you know. He's dead. So we need a god to lead us on through this wilderness. What happened to the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob that they'd been taught about for so long? See that temptation? It's a temptation, and they succumbed to the temptation. And they made an idol. It's so easy to just turn away and forget the promises of God. The temptation can be under a trial, under a difficulty, under extreme circumstances, can be that we forget the promises of God. And that is just as much a temptation, as I said earlier, as what might be termed the seven deadly sins. It's just as much a temptation. Because it's more important to God that you remember His promises. Remember His promises. Remind God of His promises. Remind God of His word. And you'll see, when you start to do that, you'll see people and the direction of things around you beginning to change. Okay, it may take some time. But the testing of your faith is what God is about. God is about shaping us and forming us that we might stand in the day of battle, that we might stand against the wiles of the devil, and that any slight temptation, any glitter that he puts before us, it will not distract us, that we have an eye that is single towards the purpose and the plans of God. I don't know if you've been watching on TV, but over the last 3 weeks they've been running Lord of the Rings on TV. The temptation of one golden ring, ultimate power. And when people get near it, they get drawn to it. This ultimate power. The ring has the power. Join the ring. Join forces with the ring. But you see, it's the wrong force. And it's the wrong desire. And it will destroy people. And it did destroy people. As they sought the ring more than they sought the good. And that darkness would seek to rise up by the power of the ring. Darkness would take over if they carried on like this. And I watched some of it and I thought, wow, there are some real examples of biblical things happening in there. And one of them was when the army is outnumbered I think was it the last one or second one, I can't just remember, where they're outnumbered, and they bring back a nation who's broken its promise, and these are the dead ones, as they're called, and they come back and they come to the and keep their promise. And come in, and you know, it struck me that God has an army that is hidden, waiting to bring down the powers of darkness. God is still on the throne, and He is waiting to bring down the powers of darkness. And God has an army waiting. And when you read, and when the prophet said, God, there's only me left. It's only me left. God says, you what? He says, I've got 7,000 hidden. Not yet revealed. God doesn't need a lot to bring victory. But He needs your faithfulness. He needs you not to be led into temptation of doubting Him. And so you need to move forward. And don't be like the children of Israel who take their eyes off and say, oh well, you know, we're having a difficult time. Maybe Moses is dead, so we need to replace Moses with something else. God's not dead. He's alive. Just because circumstances are going against you does not mean that God is not planning the next move. Does not mean that God hasn't got everything in hand. It's just a part of you. You've been tested, you've been honed, as we sang in that song. Crystal clear and finely honed is where we're going. And so we need to realise more and more that the Word of God is working on us. And sometimes the Word of God can be like a hammer and chisel. Yeah, sharper than any two-edged sword. Dangerous. Cuts both ways. Whichever way you swing it, it's going to cut. It's going to remove. But at the same time, there is also that God will polish us. God will bring us under His covering and protect us so often, you see. So there are so many aspects of God that we have yet still to fully understand. And so God is at work in us, moving us forward step by step. And so don't take your eyes off God. Is that right, Edwin? You keep believing, you keep reminding God of His promises. And you keep thanking God for His promises. You keep thanking God that He's going to bring things to pass. That He, no matter how dark it is, God is light. He's light. Yep. And God is the light of the world. And when the light of God comes in, it pierces all the darkness. And nothing stays. No darkness can stay. There is no dark corner. And God moves in and sets free and brings light. And when light comes in, plants grow. Do you know that? Plants need light. Isn't that right, Graham? What do you call photosynthesis? And they need light. And in the same way, we need the light of God in our difficult times. And often we can say, oh, you know, I feel I'm just in a dark place. That's okay. That's just when God begins to start to shine His light. And you'll see the light of God coming in and shining in the dark place. Setting you free. Bringing light. Bringing direction for you and I to walk in. And so we need to move on in those sort of directions. Let us not be carried off into temptation by our own flesh. So often temptation can be of our own thinking, of our own doing. Jesus, if you want, puts it quite simply. He said, if you think it, you've done it, basically. Wow, that's tough, isn't it? Yeah. That really is tough. You know, how many of you thought, phew, I could murder him. I could murder them. Eh? Nobody ever thought that? Nobody's owning up today. I'll kill him. Let me get hold of him. If I could just... We've all had them feelings, haven't we? Thank God, God does not move just on those sudden feelings that we have. Yeah. And thank God that God sort of says, well, we'll get over that one. And He leads us on into realising that, well, okay, thank God for Jesus. That His blood has set us free and has forgiven us for all of that. And we just have to keep moving on. Moving towards the light. That we can touch the throne of God and see the victories of God come. And so, you know, temptations in our own flesh. Fears in our mind. That's already been mentioned, fears. Fears in your mind, in your soul. And the way you deal with those fears is to take the Word of God daily. And let the Word of God speak into your heart. Let the promises that God has given to you speak into your heart. Speak into the situation. And it will destroy the temptation to not believe God. It will destroy the temptation to give up. It will destroy the temptation to quit on the circumstance. It will stop, get rid of the temptation of failure. But that it will cause a persistency, and it will cause a consistency to come into your life, that you might be led by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit's in you. Ellen spoke about the Spirit of God last week, about the Holy Spirit being baptized in and with the Holy Spirit. And that's not just about speaking in tongues, but about being filled with the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God so that He Himself possesses you. So that your mind and your heart think and speak and act like Jesus did. That's the goal. That's the direction of the Word in your life and in my life. That's the part of the direction of the Lord's Prayer, to just guide you, not to be led into those sort of temptations. You see, we so get caught up by the big things, when God's big things, they're easy to deal with God, because everybody sees them. You know, they're like great big banners. Jesus said, it's the little foxes. It's the little things that cause the problems. We had our first house that we had. Solid walls. It had had some subsidence, caused a bit of cracking, but didn't really cause any problem to the main outer fabric of the house. It was fine. But it just caused one little problem. It cracked a pipe. And for years, water ran underneath the house and into the soil area. And it created an atmosphere. That's what happens. Fears, doubts create an atmosphere. And in this atmosphere that it created, suddenly, somehow, these wood-boring weevils decided that this was the atmosphere that they liked to live in. And so they arrived. I don't know whether they arrived in ones and twos or what. They were there before we arrived. And they started to build their empire and destroy mine at the same time. That's the devil, you see. The devil builds his empire and destroys yours and destroys the things of God. And it was found by accident. You know, Grace had sniffed something out. She said, you know, there's a funny smell. And I couldn't smell anything. And then one day I did something and the floor moved. Strange, why does the floorboards move like that? So I went to investigate. Oh, wish I'd never been. The house was fully wooden floor underneath, and half of the back room, the floor joists, were eaten away just about. They were full of holes. If you jumped up and down on them, you got showered in fine particles of wood dust. I thought, what is it? And I finally captured one of these things, took it to the public health, and they said, oh, from New Zealand these are. New Zealand? How did that get here? God! And it's in my house. I'm in Doncaster in Yorkshire, you know, we're thousands of miles away. Well, they all came on boats hundreds of years ago, you see, and decided this England's a good damn place to live, you know. And so the oranges are origination is from New Zealand. And so we were then told we had to spray all the floor joists and all the timbers underneath. What a job. I did it all myself. Killed every one of them. We could have easily said, oh, forget it, let's just leave the house and go, you know. But we persevered and we took what we were told would work and we used it to destroy the wiles of these wood-boring weevils. And we did it. And we put down a new floor and everything was made good. and everything looked beautiful. And it's same with us in our lives. You know, God deals with these small, it's these small things. You don't know what is going on under the surface at times. The big things are easy to spot, but it's the small things. God wants you to be moving in the depth of the Spirit of God so that you see the wiles of the devil. I think really the wiles of the devil are the small things that are going on. That's why God says, you know, watch. Watch and pray. We watch and pray, don't we? No, watch and pray. Keep your eyes open. Be alert. Be ready. Watch and pray. Be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit which brings a stronger desire in you lead you and direct you. And that's why we need to be filled with the Spirit, so that we know the power and we know that the desires of God work through the Spirit of God into our lives. So be led by the Spirit. Don't be led by your mind. Don't be carried off by your thinking. Don't let your thinking lead you into temptations. Oh, I've been doing this for years and it's not worked yet, so I'll give up on it. No. If God hasn't said give up, then you carry on. Whether it might not appear to be working, God is looking for faithfulness. You don't know the preparations that are going on to bring things to pass. Jesus is communicating with the Father, doing what the Father asks him to do, or what he sees the Father doing. He said that to the people, I only do what I see the Father do. And we need to be tuned in that same way, that we are doing what we see God doing, we're doing what we see Jesus doing, and that we're moving in the dynamics of the Spirit of God. And if we move in the dynamics in the Spirit of God, we'll not be led into temptation. It's when we get lax, it's when we get lazy, it's when we get distracted, it's when we don't put God first. Yeah. It's when we put something else before God, that's when we start the process of being led into temptation. That's the first step of being led into temptation, that we allow something else to take over parts of our lives, and we give it over to that something else instead of giving it over to God. And so it's important to remember, God has claim through Jesus to every part of your life. University, school, your job, your future, God has claim on it all. Your house, your savings, God has claim on it all. Your very life, God has claim on it all. Some of you may not have remembered this song, but one of the great songs that used to be sung at many of the Billy Graham crusades was, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all. Wow, you know, powerful. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. Yeah, they sang it. They gave it away. And a few days later, they took it all back. People took it back. Oh, God can't do it. Oh, I'm not giving God that in my life. And they changed their mind. And there are people who sang them songs and went out in those crusades who took it back. But you know, God's still looking for them. God's still out there. The Spirit of God's still searching them out. And they just need to see the move of the Spirit of God again in your life, in my life, and it will cause them to not be distracted anymore, but they'll come back to Jesus. They'll come back to the cross. And so it's about you and I doing what the Father is doing, what Jesus is doing and saying into our lives. As we do that, we're going to touch lives. We're going to change lives. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. It's in Luke's Gospel. chapter 4. And this is when Jesus is just after Jesus has been baptized in water by John the Baptist. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led out by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. Bit of a parallel to Moses being missing on the mountain for 40 days in the presence of God. And Jesus is tempted. The devil comes and says, Turn these stones into bread. You've not eaten. You must be hungry. And he was. It'd be that natural hunger. But he reminds the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but he shall live by the very breath and the words of God. We live by the breath of God. When God created man, he breathed into him life. We live by the breath of God. You know, you say, well, I breathe my own. I breathe. I'll guarantee in this room tonight there isn't one of us that sits here and thinks, am I breathing? Oh, I must remember to breathe. Is there? There isn't one of you that suddenly thinks, oh, I better breathe. Is there? You just do it, don't you? God breathed life into you. And as he breathed that life into you, it's an automatic thing. And all life belongs to God. And when God chooses to take that life, he chooses and he takes that breath, he takes you. Takes back his breath. And so we are led by the Spirit, the very breath of God in our lives, leading us on and directing us. You know, the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. They probably could have managed just with 40 days and been out the other side and into the promised land. But they ended up with 40 years. We need to realize that God is not wanting you to be in prison for 40 years. God is not wanting you in that situation. God has gone and covered all these bases so that you and I don't have to suffer these things. He wants to. We can learn from other people's mistakes. We can learn from what the Word of God teaches us. So often people say, well, yeah, you've got to let them make their own mistakes. Not necessarily. If a person's teachable, then when you teach them something, if they listen to what you say, they'll do it how you said it and they'll not make a mistake. It's like in engineering. When we were apprentices, they told us how to do things, didn't they? You know, told us how to hold a file, told us how to put an axle blade into a axle. There is a right way and a wrong way. Is that not true? Most people don't know that. If you put it in the wrong way, guess what? It'll be tough work sewing with that axle blade, won't it? You put it in the right way, this is easy. And so these are just things that you taught, and you can't, people say, oh, leave me alone, let me make my own mistakes. No, I'm not trying to help you make mistakes. We're trying to help prevent you making mistakes so that you move along faster. But you see, when somebody doesn't want to be taught, they'll go on and they'll make the mistakes. Why reinvent the wheel? As they say. Let's learn from those who have gone on before. From the promises of God, from the saints of God as they've gone on before. Learn from those and build on those. And know that God is leading us and directing us. And see, we find here that as Jesus goes through the temptations, at the end of all of this, he is then released into his ministry. But first he's tempted. First he's tested. Wow. Are you being tested? Are you being tried? Are you being tempted? Guess what? It's all part of preparation. It's all part of preparation for the ministry, for the work that God has got for you to do. And you have to be patient, and you have to go through the preparation process. Preparation for purpose. That's what God has for you. And then when that purpose comes, you begin to fulfill the promises of God for your life. But before you can fulfill the promises of God He's got for your life, you have to go through preparation. Moses went through a preparation purpose of 40 years in the wilderness. Even before he got tied up with the Jews, with the children of Israel. He had his own preparation to fulfill the purpose of God and the promises of God for his life and for the people of Israel. You know, you've got to realize sometimes that sometimes there are things happen in your life and maybe it's not really your fault. What do I mean? Well, Moses suffered the situation of the wilderness. It wasn't directly his fault that he had to go into the wilderness. It was a result of the prayers and the promises of God that God would deliver his people, Israel, out of the hand of the Egyptians. And God had to raise up a deliverer. And Moses was planned and purposed into that position, and he had to go through a process. Can't you find somebody else, God? What has God got planned for you? What purposes of God has God got for you today and in the future? You say, well, I'm going through a difficult time. Okay. Then God has a plan and God has a purpose, and there are promises to be fulfilled in your life. And you've started on the pathway of ministry. Yeah, but I'm not on the platform preaching. No, you're on the platform of ministry. You're in the purpose of ministry. Jesus' ministry started in the wilderness, when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there it started. Your wilderness times are a proving ground for the work of God in your life, to show how far you've come in your walk with God. And sometimes we get to that situation where we think, well, in that area I haven't come very far. You know, there are areas where you've strolled out and you've gone miles, and you think, wow, you know, I've really excelled and I've really grown. And then God says, excuse me, can you just have a look at this here? there's something that hasn't grown on yet, pot bound. We forgot to water it and feed it and whatever else we need to do to it, and it's not grown, it's not developed. So God says, we need to deal with this area. Oh, but God, but what about all that way up there? Yeah, but we still need this, because God wants the whole man. God wants the whole person. That's God's intention. And so we have to prepare the walk with God. I don't know whether we use that scripture in Daniel the other week, in from chapter 3 of Daniel. No, not the delay one. Chapter 3 and verse 17, where we talk about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Did we use that one? I seem to think we did. It's been one of my scriptures that I quoted quite a lot. You know, temptation to quit. Okay, guys, you know. Yeah, I can tell it's hot, that furnace. Yep. I think maybe now's the time to back down. And just, you know, just tip your hat to the golden image, and you know, we can get away with this one, can't we? No. We stood our ground. We said we're going to be faithful to God. We made a promise to God that we will only worship God. And that's it. And there will be no other gods before. We, you know, the commandments were. So they were standing on the commandments and on the promises that they had made to God. And they were not. The temptation is, well, you bow down, you live. You don't bow down, you die. No 50-50, phone a friend, bail me out. This is it. And they stood by and said, well, you know, if it's God's will that we die, then we die. If it's not, then we won't. But whatever happens, we're serving God. Temptation to quit. A lot of people would have quit. But no, they stuck in there. And the one like the Son of Man appeared in the fire with them. And the bondages were burned away. They were set free. And they became rulers in the land. That was their destiny. That was their appointment. That was their purpose in life. The preparation was jump in the fire. If they'd have not gone in the fire, and if they'd have bowed the knee, they never would have been leaders and rulers in the land of Babylon. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, Joseph had a good attitude. Yeah, that's right. And so, when we are going through it, just watch you don't go through the situation blaming yourself, letting the devil accuse you that you've done something wrong, letting the devil put doubt into you about that you're not really going to make it because you've failed God, because that's what he seeks to do, that you've made some wrong decisions, you've done the wrong thing, and he goes on and on and on and on, and he's chipping away at you. Look to these saints of God who went through some horrendous times, who faced death in the face, who stood and withstood death, and said, we're not going to deny God. And God showed up every time and brought them through and delivered them and set them free. It's wonderful when you start to realize that these things happened, and that God, right at them, through the most difficult circumstances and situation, God turns up on the scene and God brings deliverance. But you see, it's their faithfulness to the promises of God, their trust in the Word of God, their trust in God Himself, that keeps them going forward and saves them and delivers them and puts them in positions of authority. Stop doubting God. Stop doubting the call of God. Stop doubting the promises of God, because those are all temptations that the devil would have to bring defeat into your life. And then that will prevent the kingdom of God coming in your life. It will prevent the kingdom of God being glorified in your life. So it's important that we don't get led into temptation, and that God delivers us. You see, Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego was delivered out of the fiery furnace. Moses was delivered out the hand of the Egyptians. Joseph was delivered out of his brother's hands, who were going to kill him. His own family were going to destroy him. And God delivered him. Why? Because he had a purpose, he had a plan. And he brought them out. And in the same way, you know, when we're going through difficult situations and circumstances, God still has a plan. Still has a plan. Just because it's difficult, that's not a problem to God. He's foreseen all of these things. He's ready for all of these things. And so you need to pray the Word of God. Pray that the forces beyond your control do not lead you into temptation. These forces of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego being thrown into the fiery furnace was beyond their control. Daniel being put into the lion's den, it was beyond his control. Because he would not stop praying. Daniel would not stop praying. The three boys would not stop bowing, would not stop and bow down. They were going to do what they knew was right. So Psalm 119 and verse 10 says, "With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments." Psalm 119 and verse 10. Thing to pray. Pray that part of the psalm. I'm just picking out sort of verses from the psalm. It's a good psalm to read, actually, although it's the longest one. Not going to read it all, are you? No, not quite. But if we look at then verses 31. "I cleave to thy testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of thy commandments, for thou wilt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, thy ways of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end." Being taught the ways of God. Verses 35 to 40. "Make me walk in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to thy testimonies, and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity, and revive me in thy ways. Establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for thine ordinances are good. Behold, I long for thy precepts. Revive me through thy righteousness." God is going to revive us through his righteousness. We are clothed with his righteousness. We are blessed with his righteousness. And we need to realize that and allow that to work in our lives. Verses 133. "Establish my footsteps in thy word, and do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep thy precepts." 133 and 134. You can pray those in your life. Call in the blessings, call in the promises, pray this over your life. Scriptures to use to establish the kingdom of God in your life. Ephesians 6 and 8, 11 through to 18 talks about the armour of God and putting on Christ. And as we put on Christ, we will see the blessings of God coming into our lives. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, the shield of faith. And as we put these parts of the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ onto our lives, we're putting on Christ. The shoes of the Gospel of Peace. We're a people that carry the Gospel of Peace. And verse 13 of Ephesians 6 says, "Therefore taking up the full armour of God," it says the full armour. Don't leave anything off. See, if you don't have the belt of truth on, you've nothing to hang your sword on. If you leave your shield down, you've nothing to quench the fiery darts of the enemy with. If you leave your helmet off, you're vulnerable to hearing the lies of the devil destroy you. So it says, "Take up the full armour of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore, having your loins girt with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the word tells you, you're just going to have to stand. You're just going to have to stand firm on the promises. You're just going to have to stand firm against the wiles of the devil. You're just going to have to stand firm against the temptations. You're just going to have to stand firm. You're just going to have to stand in Jesus. That's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to stand firm on the promises that God has given to you. I don't know the promises that God has given to you. Only you know. It's between you and God. And you and God have got to stand on those promises. You and God have got to hold those promises. And don't let the devil steal them from you. Don't let the devil tempt you away so that you forget them and you leave them behind. Because that is so often what happens in this day, this generation. People forget things so easily. People leave things so easily. People dispose of things so easily. Oh, don't work, throw it away. Philip and I have a mentality, it don't work, oh just a minute, give me a screwdriver, I'll see if I can fix it. Different mentality. Today's generation, oh it don't work, throw it away. Well, it's often, if it does, it's not quite working right, we'll throw it away. People get impatient and bored with things. We have a washing machine, 23 years old it is. So my wife reminds me. I know you did. I was going to bring that point up. But as soon as you brought it up, I'll bring it up. And Grace decided that it wasn't washing properly. It would wash the clothes, but it wouldn't spin them dry. And she let frustration come in. And so she said, "Oh, just we're going to buy a new washing machine." Huh? You're joking. It's not working. Throw it away and buy a new one. What? When that washing machine was made, it was made in the day when you could repair them. It was made to those standards of repairability, not cast it off. So, with a little help from a friend, we turned it on its side and took out the motor and replaced 2 carbon brushes. Put it back together, stood it back, pushed it in place, turned it on, and guess what? It filled with water, did a wash, it did a spin, it did everything it was supposed to do. But you see, today's generation would say, throw it away. But it only needs 2 carbon brushes. You know, these things are like, they're not expensive. But no, we'll buy another washer, £500. But these 2 carbon brushes probably didn't, well, they didn't cost us anything actually, apart from a jar of honey. From Romania. Or a pair of carbon brushes. But we're going to spend £500 on a new washing machine because it's not working. Of course it's working. Philip and I, we'll have a go and try and fix it, won't we? We'll find a way where there is no way. And in the same way, we have to purpose through with God. In the same way, we've got to purpose through with God. We have to press through. Just because you might think it's broke, God can fix it. Remember that. Just because you think it's broke, that does not mean it's broke. God can still fix it. Stand on the promises of God. Let God be God. And let God lead you through into the promised land. Let God lead you where He wants you to go. And let the blessings of God come into your life. So stand with the all armour of God on. And trust God. And be not led into temptation. and let God deliver us from the evil one. Amen. Praise the Lord. On page 20, it tells us there about applying the armour of God. What time is it? It's 9:10. Can you do that yourselves? Eh? We can break a little bit earlier tonight. Just read those verses, read those applications, use those as declarations. The gird about your loins with the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The breastplate of righteousness. Jesus said, I am. Jesus said, you are my righteousness. For you have made him to be sin for us, who know no sin, that we might be made righteous, made the righteousness of God in him. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Jesus, you are my readiness. Jesus is always ready. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The shield of faith. Jesus, you are my faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verses of scripture that confirm what God has done. Helmet of salvation, you are my salvation. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews 5:9. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus, you are my living word. And the word of flesh. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. All those scriptures fit in with the armour of God, the declaration, where it has come from, the truth, the righteousness, the preparation, the readiness, the faith of Jesus, the salvation, and him, the living word. And God will work in our lives as we let that work on us. Just, you can read that scripture and just reapply those things to your life and just let them be quickened in your life and in your experience. Pray them over yourself. Let that be a prayer pattern at times, so just a short prayer pattern that you can use to just minister to yourself. Minister it over your family. Believe the promises of God. Make the declarations. Speak them out and declare it in the heavenly realm. Speak it out in your own household and declare it. And see God change things. The word went out. The word goes out and it changes things around it. It's powerful, it's dynamic in as it leaves your mouth and starts the work. So trust God, believe God. And let God work in your life and in others around you. And let the power of God affect others around you more than you've ever seen before. And just keep praising God. Keep rejoicing. Keep thanking God. Be a people that thank God. Be a people that come to church and have got something to thank God for each day. You know, come to church and say, well, I thank God that, you know, I'm alive today. I have an attitude of gratitude, you know. I've got on my Skype thing that it says something to the effect of think of 10 things you can thank God for. Somebody said it here in church. I thought, oh, that's good. Yeah, think of 10 things you can thank God for. So I'll put it up on you. So everybody that logs on and finds me, it says think of 10 things you can thank God for. Point of course for just to ponder. Praise God. I can see you people. Praise God. You've had an input into my life. Thank God for you. Wonderful, isn't it? Thank God that I can breathe. And we're still here in the purpose and plan of God. And you can go on. Thank God today that he's the same yesterday, today and forever. He changeth not. Even though the banks are crashing, guess what? The bank of heaven's sound. Thank God heaven's not tied to the gold standard or to the dollar or to the pound. Heaven's tied to its own standards, holiness, truth, and the glory of God. So we can praise God. There's a little questionnaire for you to do later on, your homework. So praise the Lord. What's that? Just a minute. Thank you.
On page 20 of the handout at the bottom, where it says sword of the spirit is the word of God, if you take the S off sword, what do you get?
Word
of God. If you put an S in front, you get sword of God.
Yep. Let the Spirit of God quicken the word, and it will make it like a sharp sword. Hallelujah. Let the word work in your life, and believe God for your future. Take it to university, wherever you go, whatever your situation is, take God with you. He'll never let you down. He'll always be faithful to you. And he'll always bring you into favour. Always create favour for you. Even when it appears to be going wrong, don't worry. The enemy's out and about, but don't worry. God is already out before him. God got up before the devil. He's already out there. The angels are out working on your behalf, doing the things that need to be done to bring victory for the children of God, to bring the promises of God, just by you staying in the word, staying resting in God, staying relaxed in God and rejoicing, and just speaking the word out and thanking God for being God. Amen. Thanks for listening.